From LA to Lincoln and via sirenonline.co.uk to the world, it's time for the Midweek Drive to connect with investigative filmmaker and planetary truth seeker, the one, the only, Phil Leoners.
So which story do you prefer? The back of Left Ship's Head or Nicola and Katie? I don't know. Make your own mind up. I know which one I would actually go for. Nicola and Katie. Wouldn't be the back of my head. I kind of know what it looks like. Usually see it when the hairdresser does the stuff. Not that you know. Anyway, enough of such stuff. Fiddliness, a similarly follically challenged person. Are you there?
Well, Alex, the thing that I liked about the wide shot, and I'm a big fan, cinematically,
yes,
of wide masters.
Indeed.
I like, it's more democratic, because an audience gets to choose what they want to explore rather than having their attention directed. And in that, why I appreciated was your choice in sweaters today. Although we could only see the back of your head, I think we know that the color of that sweater would bring out your eyes. So that I enjoyed. Of course, I like seeing Ed. And I was thinking that maybe I need to be working on a special jingle for Ed. Wouldn't that
be? Oh, yes, please. Yes.
But, you know, I'm quite, as you know, just think, you know, Katie's just about the cutest thing ever, and her haircut is the thing of fashion magazine, you know?
Thanks, Phil.
And in the webcam during that last song, during the Michael Dana song from Life of Pi, you know, the way that she was, nonchalantly playing with her hair and everything, it really...
Do you want to see what she's talking about?
The music very well, so...
I've restored the wide shot, Phil, so just...
Oh, I know, I'm watching. Don't kid yourself. Time I get to watch you react to me. What could be more wonderful than that?
Exactly. It's so, like virtual living.
So stay awake, everybody, because I'll know.
Exactly. Very true. So, which bits of the show have you enjoyed so far? Oh, actually, before we do that, we've had another little text, a Facebook line that's come through. Nikki Wells has tagged us in a post with the official line being, "Yay! Thanks for the name check, Alex Lefchuk and Siren FM." So there we are, a little name check from that perspective. Do you think we should actually play the official Nikki Wells jingle that we've also produced and actually put together for this? So I was going to hold this back until next week, because clearly, as we heard in the earlier part of the production, once you've actually reached this particular level of fame...
Nicola Clancy has now arrived in the Siren studios, and your listening pleasure has just increased tenfold.
Which I still think is very true. I was thinking of 1,000-fold originally. Maybe a bit too much pressure. We also went for this.
Nikki Wells, rock star, romance trilogy creator, mother, cook, and officially the first German midweek drive rockette.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah, no, you know what? I've got to say that, you know, I admire you as a broadcaster, Alex, and of course as a dresser. Did I mention the color of that sweater? But I do find it odd, your intense enjoyment of playing identifications for people who aren't there. That is odd to me. That's like, it's like you're announcing to the audience, here's who you don't get to listen to.
Exactly. Well, we've only got 7 billion people on the
planet. Which seems a little strange. But, you know, what I love about, you know, the exposure that Nikki gets on this forum, on the radio, you know, when I was a kid, and I'm imagining probably it was true in the UK there as well, Alex, you can tell me, but I remember that the chat shows always had authors on, always brought on authors, and in the 80s and 90s, that kind of...
It became a cliche because people were used to the fact, oh, what book are you plugging, what do you want to promote, etc. And I don't think they did it to the same extent that we do at the Siren, where we take that book, we take that event, we take that whole routine and we launch it. As Ed will attest to, we already got an acknowledgement from Jenny Finch, who will be joining us in the next couple of weeks or so. You know, just wondrous stuff. I shall show you that, Katie, and we have coffee afterwards.
And now also with you know, your audience being worldwide, my audience being worldwide, and the ebook possibilities, I think it really does a valuable service, because people can immediately go to that artist's work. In fact, one of the books, you know, that Dean and I spoke about in our section on Chilpack Hollywood Hour, what we're reading was about a woman who wrote her first book She lives in Drake, New South Wales. Her name is Maggie Fowler. And now, as a result of us talking about it on the show, an e-book version of her book is being published. So I love, in some small way, we helped get her voice read by a wider audience who otherwise might not ever have had the chance or even known about it.
Exactly. It's what we mean when we say...
Putting together an audio show which entertains and educates the globe is a piece of cake. When you've got the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Edition teams on the case for Siren 107.3 FM and sirenonline.co.uk.
Of course, on the
it's
drive.
Fascinating. Yes. It's fascinating. You don't even have to have a thought of your own anymore. You just have a jingle to express anything you might be.
Exactly. Exactly so. Not that I believe in remote living, but you might like to know tomorrow morning, Richard Fitzwilliams, or indeed quarter past midnight, Los Angeles time, Richard Fitzwilliams will be talking about Zero Dark Thirty, The Judas Kiss, and Lincoln. Richard Harper will be talking about Inspired Life. Apparently he's got another number now, so we'll sort of from that one out. Stephen Dunleavy will be talking about David Attenborough's Natural Curiosities. William Sitwell is back with us, and we're going to Harrogate for Black Dog Hydrotherapy. That's hydrotherapy for canines. Katrina Lakin is with us as well, so's Minty Steed, and the producer and director of David Attenborough's Natural Curiosities. We'll be discussing nature's greatest unanswered questions, such as why are zebras black and white, and do praying mantises really have the females eating the males after they've mated? I know things which have caused many a sleepless night. Anyway, continue with your notes, please, Phil. I think it's time to sort of find out what's been happening as far as, you know, what bits of the show you've enjoyed. Do you think, for instance, that the co-director of Mistaken Presence brought a whole new level to the notion of interrogation when it comes to the studio and interesting sort of perspectives on life?
Wow, I'm not even going to answer that question right now. I'm instead going to go back to last week's show because I thought you would find this interesting. You had asked me last week about Dragon Con, the popular culture fan convention that takes place every year in Atlanta, and I said that we would try to get a show of Chilpak Hollywood Hour that was recorded live at Dragon Con up and available again. But your show and talk on... a listener heard me on your show, got in touch, and sent me links to news articles about Dragon Con, quite troubling news articles, actually, that we will be covering on next Monday. But I thought it was fascinating that, again, this kind of global audience, a topic comes up on your show, and someone reaches out to me with a news article that they want us to cover on our show. That'll be coming up next Monday, and we will, in anticipation of it, make our Dragon Con special from a couple years ago newly available again. I have a question, actually, that's more pressing to me than the questions you might have of me, and that is the topic of Doctor Who.
Yes.
50 years, of course, I've always been aware all my life of Doctor Who. When I picture Doctor Who, I picture Tom Baker because he had achieved a certain level of international fame at the time that he was the Doctor. He would guest star on many American television series. But I have never watched even of any Doctor Who. Where do I begin?
Okay.
Where do I start?
Yeah, well... The beauty of Doctor Who is it was originally a series of serials, okay? Nothing to do with cornflakes or anything else, but it was a series which actually had lots of four-part, six-part, ten-part, 12-part episodes, average four-part episodes, which took you through a whole series of adventures and so on. And if you want to actually jump in to the original hardcore Doctor Who, start off with William Hartnell. It might be worthwhile accessing An Unearthly Child. I'll say that again, An Unearthly Child, because that sets the scene, as Waris Hussain directed the whole thing, and Verity Lambert and Sidney Newman actually sort of coordinated this for actually sensing that unworldliness and sort of strangeness of the whole Doctor Who scenario, and introducing the world to the concept of time and relative dimensions in space, which, of course, Katie, as we all know, stands for...
No idea.
TARDIS.
Oh, God, of course.
Katie,
I'm not
I know, it's all right.
Doctor Who.
Well, it's quite understandable. That's why you're doing Charlie Chaplin for a possible sort of debate and dissertation structure, which is great stuff there. Although, curiously enough, you mentioned Charlie Chaplin, Patrick Troughton, the second Doctor, known as the Cosmic Hobo Doctor, actually deliberately channeled aspects of Charlie Chaplin's Tramp into his incarnation of Doctor Who. There have so far been 10 Doctors. I would suggest it might be worthwhile also, if you want to pick up with the new Sparkling series, possibly going for the opening of Christopher Eccleston's series. Only one season, 13 shows, separate sort of episodes and shows within that whole field, and take that with the opening title being Rose, introducing the companion of Rose Tyler, otherwise played by Billy Piper, who might have got over to the States, possibly, if that's effectively what she wanted. Because she wanted to. A cross reference there. Does that help, Phil? I mean, that was a little potted history of where you can step into the world of Doctor Who if you want to access this, and where do you start to begin to come to grips with the whole series?
Well, that was quite complete. So do any of your young co-presenters actually have any personal experiences of their own watching the Doctor?
Nicola?
Not really. I've only watched a couple. There was, well, a newer kind of one where it was about some old grannies and granddads being zombies. So that was quite entertaining. Yeah. I have no idea what it was called, but I was like, I like this.
I think that was Amy's choice. Of course, we like to feel that in many ways all of our location reports are a bit like Doctor Who Adventure. Self as a glamorous companion, and then the somewhat crotchety old elderly sort of individual sort of saying things like, hello, would you like to do a radio interview? I know, we're quite honest from that point of view. Ed?
Rather like Phil, Doctor Who is Tom Baker to me. And that's all I can remember. Apart from that, who was the one after that? Colin?
No, Peter Davison.
Oh, was there Colin one called
Baker,
Colin?
Yes, Colin Baker. Ah. He was after Peter Davison and before Sylvester McCoy.
Those are the two then, I remember.
Sylvester McCoy, of course, is now Radagast the Brown in the latest adventure of The Hobbit. An unexpected journey, or unexpected adventure in many ways. You know, it's a rewrite Tolkien. Good movie. Interesting.
Tom Baker was one of those actors who does not get cast in... You know, that type of actor does not get cast as the lead in television series anymore, but he was the sort of actor whose face told a story and a rich backstory evening moments you see him. And I kind of miss that about casting in television. I had a question, Alex. You mentioned that Richard Williams will be discussing Zero Dark Thirty on the Morning Edition tomorrow.
Yes. Or just past midnight in California, obviously.
Well, you need to call him on what I think are one of the real weaknesses. In this country, there's been a lot of debate over, our Senate, the U.S. Senate has criticized the film because the film depicts that we use torture.
Listen,
enhanced interrogation techniques, and the Senate says we never did that. But for me, the real thing that makes it unbelievable is that the CIA is shown as being run by the leader of Torchwood.
Mm.
And if that were the case, if indeed Captain Jack Harkness were running Torchwood, CIA, as he is in Zero Dark Thirty, we would have found Bin Laden so much faster.
But did you not notice, and I'm going to be explicit here, because a lot of the things, the textual pieces we put into this show, I kind of think, well, if the fans pick up on that, if Penny Evans, for instance, when she's listening to the show on podcast, because she can't listen live this week because she's actually being taken for a late birthday treat by her parents. Well done, Penny. You know, we gave you a wave on our birthday routine. We know you appreciate that. She'll be back with us next week, obviously, for the book launch. But she might have actually acknowledged the fact that we are actually running Richard Fitzwilliam's views on Zero Dark Thirty on Zero Dark 15. Because Zero Dark 30 actually means half past midnight. Yeah, California time.
Nice. I like what you did there. And knowing Richard, he'll only be just warming up by Zero Dark 30.
Exactly.
So that's the beauty of it. You know, I've got to say that I listened to the show, but I've had a hard time really doing my usual diligent job.
You've been suffering from a head cold. I know.
I've got a wicked, wicked head cold. That, if I had not laid body down a couple days ago... could have bordered into
so
pneumonia.
So let's share. Let's share. I mean, Ilana Rain and yourself. It's like, you know, the Wachowski brothers get it, or rather brother and sister these days, because it's Lana not so much Larry Wachowski, but you know, and of course Tom Tykwer, director of the fantastic run of the Roller Run. They got together on Cloud Atlas and developed that. Was this the same with? I mean, Lily Holliman, Dean Haglund, Phil Leonis and Ilana Rain all working in the desert when it's pouring down with rain. Look, you know, some of those shots on their Facebook, so it's just fun. In fact, Ilana liked them so much, she actually posted all of them individually to me and said, have a butcher's at these. Although, obviously, being from New York, she didn't actually say,
yeah,
have a butcher's at these.
There's some incredible footage. I mean, this location, we were at the top of the Angeles Crest Forest, and it is the high desert, and it was that rare time of year where it was just pouring rain. The thing about the Angeles Crest Forest and the high desert in Los Angeles is you have microclimates seemingly every few feet. So by the time you got to the bottom of the mountain, there was no rain down there, but at the top it was all fog, all rain. And it was really quite appropriate because the piece itself deals with time travel of a certain way, time manipulation. So we were able to use the weather to help enhance that sense. So I think a lot of the footage is going to be really startling, and the performances are quite
as we'd expect, quite literally as we'd expect
by the actors. But I got to tell you, Alex, it's the sort of thing that really makes you respect and just agog when you think about movies like Lawrence of Arabia, where David Lean and his team decided, you know what, we've got to go out to the desert to actually make this. And at a time, you know, I mean, there was no production support for them. They went out and lived in the desert for 9 months making Lawrence of Arabia. We were only out on location one day, 30 minutes from the closest bathroom.
Yeah, but you know, that's what you call 21st century comforts. Nikki Wells has just actually sent in a little message, which the words I think we have to answer, Nikki, on this. Can I see sheep on Katie Grimason's jumper live on Siren FM right now? Nicola, are those sheep or are they some other species we haven't actually identified as yet?
I think they look like sheep. Or they could be rams, or is the ram a male sheep?
Faceless.
They have curly horns.
Sheep. Zombified sheep.
Yes, they are sheep.
And to answer your question, Nikki, yes, you can actually take part in the chat room. You can subscribe and you can actually take part if you wish to. It's entirely up to yourself. I mean, you know, whether anybody actually in the studio will have the time to actually read what's being said. I don't know, Ed, you're in charge of social media. You'd have to check those sort of things out. Actually, technically, you're in charge of the video. So, I'm sorry, Phil, but it's what you call a pre-production meeting for the show next week. So.
I'm gonna pretend that I was actually in the middle of a story that was leading to a point, and I'm going to continue. The thing, with what Annette was talking about with remote living and, when I watch too many movies and television shows these days, I don't get any sense of time and place, that the locale is a character that is informing the characters played by actors. I don't get that enough. And in classic films, you do get it. And that was what was so kind of thrilling about being on location shooting in the high desert of the Angeles Crest with Ilana and Dean and Lily, was that you knew that all the elements were really informing the piece itself. And it's a really visceral experience, not only for the people making the film, but therefore for the audience itself. And we don't get that enough. And I do think, you know, when you're hearing about the films we talk about on Chilpack Hollywood Hour, of our favorite films of last year, I think the best ones do that as well.
So was
it certainly, and certainly getting to go up to the cathedral with Alex, though not Greyfriars, achieved the same quality for me.
I just had a sense, Phil, that I know we'd sort of built up Greyfriars and we connected there, but I just had a sense there might have been a tension because you might have turned up at Greyfriars and instantly been interrogated as to who you were, what you were doing, what your purpose was in life. I just thought, you're a guest in the country. We can't cope with that. We'll just leave it, you know? Never mind.
Yeah, but that's how they greet you when you come into your country. I got hit with all those questions already. I was prepared. 2 hours coming through customs at Heathrow? Of course I was prepared for all those questions and interrogation.
I'm holding up the camera, or at least the laptop here, which shows Phil Linus leaning into a car there, looking meaningful and moody in the way that only Clint Eastwood at his peak would actually look, designing on that perfect shot. And we wouldn't say that was necessarily West Coast weather, would we? We'd say that was more Lincoln weather. My
response. No, but we could say that Clint Eastwood is at his peak now, which is what worries me. If I look like that, wow, I really, I'm not aging well.
You, 44 presidents of the United States, 44 years of age, Phil. Be positive. As long as you see, there's the car driving through the whole thing. You can sign up on Phil Leonis' web Facebook page, and you can see those photographs as well.
Is that him in the interior mirror as well?
Yes, very it is common. Actually. Well spotted, Nicola. That is indeed the eyes of the Leonis Meister up there in various arbeats. Marvellous. Okay. Anything else, Phil?
No, I think we've brought this show to a conclusion abruptly.
No, I think, you know, it's timing. We've got the news at 7. We've got the Lincoln abomination.
You know what? No, I've got to say, that was, beyond a doubt, the oddest Matt Monro selection.
It was, wasn't
ever.
It?
Yeah, and you know, the thing is that many of his selections were odd. I actually finally caught up with the Michael Caine film, The Italian Job, last night. And the opening title tune is
On Days Like This.
And that's inappropriate for that film. It's like Matt Monro was always singing inappropriate songs, and that's what made them so brilliant.
Precisely. Exactly. If we can connect with that whole side of things. Okay, we're going to squeeze in a quick valedictory thought from Mike Dooley.
When in a hurry, step one for changing the entire world is falling in love with it as it already is. Same for changing yourself. You like the universe.
Thank you. Just a little pause there to actually change yourselves. Thanks, as we mentioned earlier, to John Plowman, co-director of Mistaken Presence. Thanks to Nicola Clancy, Katie Grimerson, Ed Wellman, and of course you, dear listener, you're the star of the show. Yes, you are. Cameron Tilbury, Emma Smith, of course, Pete Kennedy, and Eben Brown from The Stylistics. No, yes, wonderful, great stuff there. Derek Hamley, Michelle Monroe, Annette Andre, Natalie Tuck, and Phil Leonis, who is now simply awaiting those. Who would you like to ask those last two questions? Because earlier in the show I was actually asked by somebody, so what's the purpose of those two questions? Look, it's a catchphrase, it's there, it's like your friends in podcasting. Do we have to rationalise? What's the purpose of that? Why do you do that? It's like having hyperactive sort of little chihuahua actually sort of dealing with the whole thing. Anyway, who would you like to actually have you ask those last two questions, Phil?
You're asking me who
yes.
I want to have ask
yes.
me.
Yes.
Okay, we'll go with Ed. Because certainly Alana is listening, and she enjoys Ed's voice. So,
I will speak clearly. Phil, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic link with us this afternoon?
I am so high on cough syrup; it is unreasonable, and it's—I don't even remember that I've spoken to any of
you. No, it's all a dream. The world ended. This is all a dream.
A dream. Mm. The world ended, and I fell in love with it as it was.
Yeah, lovely.
So that was beautiful.
Can we connect with you again next week, Phil?
Oh, heck, I'm not even getting off the line. I'm still going to be
just
on
stay there.
A week from
yeah.
now. Yeah, I'm just going to stay here.
Well, he'd be in time for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition tomorrow. Ed, you're back for that?
Yeah, see you in the morning.
Katie, are you back for the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
Don't think so.
That'll be a yes.
Yes. He's all set for singing as well. Nicola, of course, you have to go and sell marvellous things and get people happy about guys. Exactly. It's understandable. And Tasha Turney is off working for some broadcasting organisation elsewhere. But, you know, we'll get the magic going through that in our own unique way. Phil Leonis, we salute you. Don't forget, later on this evening, yes, this very night, we will be having the sheer wonderment that is the Lincoln Abomination team that will be bringing you up to date with all of the news you need to know when you start thinking about roller derby and various other bits and pieces. Nicola Clancy, Katie Grimerson, Ed Wellman, thank you. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye!
Bye! Bye.
news and sport on Siren 107.3 FM, Lincoln's first community radio.